FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality edition. So if you're hearing my voice right now on Wednesday morning or noon Eastern time, I am live at FirstAmendmentRadio.net or .com. Click on the chat room button there and you can join us. The studio cam is on, so there's, if you want to watch, there's a very small window. You can actually see my face and my lips move as I speak, or just listen by audio. It really shouldn't make a whole lot of difference. Well, what do I have to say? It's too late. Yeah, that's right. It's too late. That's what I would say to President Trump. That's what I thought when I saw his recent tweet. Yeah, I get presidential tweets. Not on my smartphone. You know, I got the Twitter app, and boy, just constantly, so I had to unload that. But I get them in my mailbox, that way I can look at the ones I want to look at. But his tweet said, getting back to the day, we don't want to make the cure worse than the disease. Too late. You know, I heard a disclaimer during the news broadcast that just preceded this show in the first 5 minutes of the hour. President Trump was out there. He was saying things like, you know, that's the individual states that have done all the lockdown and all that stuff and closed down certain industries and stuff. It says, that's not me. That's them. So already making sure that the buck doesn't land on him for this shutdown. And is the cure worse than the disease? Have they flattened the curve that would overwhelm the medical industry had it not been slowed and flattened? Because I figure it this way. You know, I look at this coronavirus like all other flu viruses out there, because when it all settles out and you look at the real statistics, not the ones that are created during the so-called play that's going on now, live play or real reality TV that's going on out there, because you get them, the extremes either way. But where's it going to land in the middle after a month or 6 months have gone by? We look at the real statistics. Will we see that this is worse or just perhaps the same as maybe other so-called pandemics, or maybe it's not even as bad as the regular flu, whatever that is, okay, when this whole thing. But the cure is now at the tipping point where it's worse than the disease. So they better start calling this thing back immediately. I mean, it's already worse than the disease. I mean, I can go to the store and it's like I'm suddenly in communist Russia back in, you know, and I don't hear much from Russia these days. So it's like they don't even exist through this crisis. They're not even part of the news. So what's going on there? But I remember the bread lines. And I went to Costco a week ago, yesterday or tomorrow, actually last Thursday. And they had lined up carts like three wide, like a barricade to, you know, to make one of those little, paths that you walk down, like when you stand in the bank, how they have the little ropes up to make a line for the people going to see the teller. And so you had to walk all the way around these carts to get into Costco. And of course, you get to the door and there's a sign, well, we don't have toilet paper. We don't have the things that we don't have beans. And those were the main things that they said at the door that they didn't have. And it went in there and walking around because my Costco card expires next month. And I'm pretty much think I'd already been thinking I'm not going to renew this card because Costco is not a bargain anymore. That's the truth. It's a huge mind game as far as I'm concerned. But there are a few things that I like to get there. And, but those things have become less and less over the years because they just stop carrying stuff I like. Too many people like this. We're going to stop carrying it. Because every time I'd go there, that would be the one thing that would sell out the fastest. So they decided, well, people like this too much, so we are just going to have to stop carrying this because this is just too much hassle to carry stuff that people like. And that's kind of the Costco attitude. Or they degrade the product so that it isn't the same product anymore, isn't the same quality that it used to be. Or they degrade the side of the package so that it looks about the same, to trick you into thinking it is the same, but you're getting less and you're paying more. But kind of like the last straw for me because I was buying these salads that they these bag salads, and they were cheaper at Costco than anywhere else. So I'd go in there and get these bags of salad, and they were like $4.79 a bag, which is pretty high for a salad. But then they went up to $5.99 higher, or actually went to five, not $5.99. They went to $5.87 or something, just like that. They like almost. The price went up almost 75 cents, and I said, this is not right. And so it's kind of like the last straw. I'm not shopping there anymore. I'm letting my card expire. But anyway, I saw more police there last Thursday than I've ever seen near the store. As a matter of fact, I've never seen a police car near the store in as long as Costco has been in this neighboring town. And so just bizarre things going on. And then there's certain things they don't have anymore. They didn't have beans. They didn't have rice. They didn't have toilet paper. And they let's see. Oh yeah, and you could get one bag of dog food because they sell the 55-pound bag of dog food, and you could only get one of those. But I didn't need dog food. I get it locally at a local vendor. I try to get most things as local as I can. But so anyway. That's how that was. And then yesterday, was it yesterday or the day before? Well, one of those days, I was on my bicycle, me and my daughter, my 19-year-old daughter. We rode our bikes into town. Thought, well, let's stop at the big market over here. It's called La Vallarta. It's a very ethnic market, and I usually don't shop there. But I thought, well, I'm just going to try and see if I can get beans or rice there. And we didn't even go make it in the place. They had a line down the sidewalk, and they had a regulator at the door where you go in that was allowing so many people in. I think they already reached their capacity, so every time someone came out, they would let someone in for social distancing purposes. So we didn't stand in line there. We went over to a smaller market. Where you could walk in, and they had stuff on the shelves, but some things they didn't have, like I said. But it was a much easier shopping atmosphere, much smaller, locally owned market, so which I usually shop at anyway. But I just wanted to check out the big market over there, and so I did. So is the cure worse than the disease? Yes, because here they're bringing on the socialism. Donald Trump, unfortunately, has fallen for the socialist scheme. He's out there, the president said, I hate socialism. America will not turn socialist. And he forgot the caveat. And the caveat is, unless there's a crisis. And of course, I think, they knew how to do the crisis for Donald Trump, because I am really not sure. I believe that there's a whole lot of exaggeration going on here. Because, well, is there a plan behind it? Was it planned? Well, the way it's orchestrated, it seems planned to me. And am I social distancing? Ha ha ha! Yeah, it's a thing now. Yeah, and I have to be honest with you all, because I work at home and I grow as much food as my own food as I can, and I have chickens for eggs and goats that can give me milk most of the year, half the year at least. But things are normal here on the ranch. Nothing is different because I'm not staying at home, because that's what I usually do anyway. However, did have a dentist appointment tomorrow, and they canceled on me. Because, of course, the governor, executive order in California, he said, well, sorry, all you dentists, you can only have emergencies. So all I got to do is call them up and say it's an emergency, and then they'll, but they've rescheduled me for next month. And let's see, please, sir, stand on that X. Back up. Yep, you're 6 inches off the X. Yeah, thank you, WW, for that. So anyway, as much as I wanted to avoid talking about the coronavirus, yes, stay out of the sun. Those coronas are very communicative, right? You might catch some vitamin D, so stay out of the sun. Shelter in place. Close your doors, close your windows, don't go outside, and stay six feet away from other people, because they might be giving off viruses, you know, because a virus, you know, check it out for yourself. Find out what a virus is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I saw that in some videos there, WW, in the chat room there. Duct taping X's on the floor for people to stand in line so far away from each other, especially up there. They don't want you near them, the guy who's regulating the door with his mask on his face. Yes. Yeah. Crazy, crazy world. So you see, like, this is like months. I mean, in weeks, they're getting years worth of movement toward the goal of total, you know, tyrannical control of the population, and the imputation of, don't touch money. Of course, I went out, I spent cash. I was spreading cash around, and of course, there are probably viruses on the cash, because your body at any time, did you know your body creates the virus? Yeah, so your body is creating viruses. And, you know, if you touch something, your mouth or your face or a little spit, a little saliva, you scratch your eye or something, you got viruses on your hand and you're transmitting it to the cash. Or you can use a card, too, and you can transmit it to the card machine. And so it doesn't matter. But everyone knows that viruses only live on cash. They don't live on cards, right? And viruses do not replicate. They do not have babies. The only way a virus spreads is if it spreads from person to person, and when your body meets a virus that it doesn't know, it creates a virus to combat it. That's right. So we are the virus machines. Uh-huh. And so now here's how you know how you get animal viruses in you. There's only one way that you can get an animal virus in you, because your body won't replicate animal viruses. It doesn't recognize them as something that it would replicate. Only by injection, by directly pumping animal viruses into your blood. That way you can catch them, like the swine flu and stuff like that. Yeah. So when they, I was watching video on, where was that? But the only way, it was explaining how vaccines work and the stuff they use, a line of human fetal tissue from the 1960s that replicates itself And that's basically what cancer is, that a virus that replicates, I mean, the human cells that replicate themselves out of control. And they put these into all the viruses. And of course, there's Bill Gates that does a lot of funding on this viral, of course, for human population control. He says that's one thing we must do to control population. You can see it out there in one of his TED Talks. He says he lists vaccination as one of the roads to population control. He's very big on that, and he's very big on vaccines. So there's a nefarious thing behind this. And I'm afraid with a lot of other people that the end in sight for the population control elite, for the New World Order, for the Antichrist and his shadow government, is to get everyone vaccinated with the new vaccines, because we must control the population of the earth. That's one of their goals, and through vaccinations, it's out there, it's public. There's no doubt about it. So, anyway, I'm hoping that they put an end to this thing, by the end of the month at least. And say we flatten the curve. And so I hope President Trump does that. Otherwise, he's going to lose his election, and we're going to get whoever the puppet masters are behind Lost in Space Joe Biden. Yeah, and he is lost in space right here on planet Earth. The guy's really lost in space. So you know that he will be puppeteered as much as Ronald Reagan was after he was shot. Ronald Reagan went from president to puppet immediately. And of course, we know who was behind it was his vice president. It's all history. You can check it out for yourself. All that conspiracy nonsense, right? That's what it's all about. Well, I would like to open up the phone lines if anyone wants to call in this segment, or put comments in chat room. I'm actually watching the chat room because I'm not doing anything else this first hour. Second hour, I'm going to jump back into that boring stuff about Bible prophecy. Unless so many people call in, I'll keep going here and we can just talk if people would like to do that, but I need something. Dude in the chat room says, Corona beers are the least being sold during this time. People are superstitious. Well, you ought to drink Corona beer because it'll build up your immunity against the virus. See, you're getting the wrong message out there, dude. Drink Corona beer. I never could stand it. I kind of thought this beer tastes kind of like, what goes against the wall when you stand to it. Yeah, that stuff. Right, so I thought this beer tastes awful. But I might have got a bottle that had been out in the sun for 10 years when I tried it or something. It was bad. So, and I've drinking it on other occasions where it wasn't that bad. But so, anyway, just humor there, okay? Corona beer will actually give you antibodies. As a matter of fact, you might want to load it up in a syringe and take it intravenously, and that way you will be vaccinated against the coronavirus. There you go. Now, if anyone does what I just said, you are total idiots. Okay? And I don't think anyone in my audience are total idiots. So nobody going to run around and find a syringe and inject themselves with Corona beer. Yeah. Yeah, take it in a glass, by the bottle, through your lips. Yeah, that's the best way to drink beer. I don't drink much beer, so I'm not even an expert at it. You might want to go down to the bar. Oh, they're closed. The bars are closed. Where all the experts hang out. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, probably know someone who's an expert beer drinker. Don't we all know someone? Or at least was an expert beer drinker. So you might want to go to the experts about that. Do not follow my advice. Please contact a professional when injecting or imbibing on Corona beer. And so anything else next hour? Since nobody's chiming in or calling me, the phones, maybe I better get the phone closer to me here. Maybe I can't hear it. but I have it ready in hand just in case, you know, or within reach anyway, put anyone on air. And I also have, let me see, maybe I ought to put that. Nah, never mind. We're not even going to go there. Let's see. Now I've got to go on for another half hour and think of something to say. But next hour, I'm going to jump back into, the, like I said, that boring stuff of Bible prophecy. And we're going to jump back into wherever it was that I left off. And I guess I'll have to figure that out before I jump back into it. Because I think last week I did a redo, at least a partial redo of what I did the week before, simply because I thought I left off in the wrong place. Yeah, you get it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I thought I left off in the wrong place. But I'll figure it out and I'll try to pick up where I left off last time. And I hope everybody's enjoying that series because I'm still working every week, you know, at least 10 hours on my book, which is a lot of time for a writer, I guess, especially if you're tapping the keys, because really the only thing, the only thing that you can do is when you're trying to fine tune is reread and rewrite what you're reading to try to get it right, to try to clarify things more. It's quite a task. And plus that, I want to make this a complete volume, so I probably just expanded it by double what I was going to do, because I want to, because I want to finish with it pretty much, and with prophecy, and move on to some other projects that have been cooking on the back burner as far as writing and publication goes. So yeah, there's more to life than prophecy, and especially more to God's word. So I'm going to go back to God's word and work on other topics after I finish this book, which looks like it's going to be sometime by the end of the year now, since I keep putting it off, because I have plenty of other projects that I'm working on right now. And speaking of other projects, I'm working on a history project right now. I am doing an audio of the entire series of J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism. And that's probably going to take me probably through next year to complete it, because there are hundreds of segments that I have to do on that, because each chapter is one or two segments depending on the length of the chapter. But I've read the whole thing, all three volumes already of J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism, and I suggest it as a read for everyone. But to do it on audio, I have to reread it and rewrite a lot of it, because it's just hard to put into audio. A lot of the sentence structure is very complicated. Many of the words are so archaic that I don't even know what they mean, and I have to look them up and and try to put them into words that that most people would understand. So I'm pretty much rewriting it, doing a quincentennial Reformation edition of J.A. Wiley. So I'm going to publish that since I'm rewriting it at the same time. So, and not only that, see, but when I do that, it makes it indelible in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, what I'm reading. And it's a life-changing read. And so I suggest anyone should read J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism, or at least listen to it as I read it over the air. So you can enjoy that during the week, listening to Cross the Border during Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday and Friday, and imbibe of all that good Christian history, that life-changing sound that will mature your soul, to speak. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's a Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're just talking about what's going on out there in the world, the cure being worse than the disease. I believe we're getting to that point where there's perhaps no coming back. Perhaps we're going deeper down the digital getting rid of cash road than I would feel comfortable with, and some kind of universal ID, perhaps at the end of this thing. This is the end in sight that the totalitarian dictators want, and that is everyone to get vaccinated with ID. Bill Gates wants you to actually be vaccinated with a digital ID. He wants the digital ID in your blood. That's right. So that you can, I mean, what are they going to do? You walk up to something, you're going to have to prick your thumb and then get your ID read by having your thumb pricked and then reading the digital ID that's been injected into your blood. How can they accomplish this? Well, I'm not sure they can accomplish this yet, but this is what Bill Gates is working on, of course, one of the richest men on the planet who has nothing better to do with his time than to enforce with every dollar he has what he thinks the world should be. This is the rule of the autocracy, the rule of the elite, the rich, what they want. And of course, these people would not be allowed to be rich if they were not in line or lockstep with the Antichrist and his shadow government. See, the Antichrist, his shadow government, through their money power, their power of media, and did I say money power? Well, I'm going to say it again, because they control the money, and they make sure that only the people, they try their very best. There are a few people that get out there, but people are easily destroyed by the Antichrist and his shadow government when they put a target on them. So some slip by, perhaps, but you can see how they're turned. It's kind of like this whole Chick-fil-A family thing went for a while, where these people were stand-up Christians, but now they've turned their back, even though they won in court. You go, something's not right about this picture. Something went on behind the scenes. Something was controlled and changed behind the scenes so drastically that even you take a win and you lose. After you win, you surrender to the enemy. Something's wrong with that picture. What that means is that the people that are in control of whatever it was, that family or whatever it was that won, are not in control. The spiritual powers that were in control of that are no longer in control of it. And so it's just kind of an example when you see something like that and you go, there's something going on there behind the scenes. But see, that's the power that the dragon gave to the Antichrist in his shadow government. And so they only allow to prosper in the medium, in the mainstream, what they allow to prosper. But, you know, what they don't know is while the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is really the biggest, the greatest unbeliever in the world, while he wears the cloak of Christianity, while he wraps himself in the Bible and in Bible verse and everything else they can throw onto it, robes and crowns and Latin language and mysterious ceremony and so forth. While he wraps himself in all of that, he's probably the biggest unbeliever in the whole wide world. Because when he reads about Jesus returning, he doesn't believe it. This is the Catholic Church official position, that if you believe that Jesus is going to return and rule and reign on the earth, you are called you are part of the millenarian heresy. That's right. And as part of the millenarian heresy, you are a heretic. That's right. The heretical millenarian heresy. Anyone who believes that Jesus will return. And see, these people are so diabolical. They even invented a stream of prophecy, a false prophecy, to engage everyone who believes that is a millenarian, developed by, of course, Francisco Ribera. Because, of course, now if heretics, all if millenarianism is a heresy, if kileism, to use the ancient Greek word, is heresy, is heretical to the Catholic Church, then why did they propagate something that involves the millennium? Certainly not for their own, because while they kept them wrapped up in Latin liturgy and hid the Bible from their own constituents for many, many years. And now they have their own translations because, you know, especially in liberal countries like America, where liberal Catholics are, they want to read the Bible. So they change some key passages. Plus, they also come up with translations for so-called, you know, wayward Protestants. Because if you're a wayward Protestant, that means that you're not protesting anymore. You're not really a Protestant. Yeah. But they made a Bible prophecy interpretation just for you called dispensational futurism, where the Antichrist is not the papacy, as the reformers and many others throughout history, especially during the papacy's 1260-year reign in Western Europe, so many discovered that the Catholic Church was that great apostasy spoken of by Paul in his epistle to the Thessalonians, and that the papacy was that man of sin, seated in the church, claiming to take the place of God on earth, vicar of Christ. That's exactly what vicar of Christ means. That actually is the exact meaning of Antichrist, is a replacement for Christ, an opposite replacement. Yeah, wayward Protestant. That's what I said. Wayward Protestants are not protesting. And what are they now? Well, they're dispensational evangelicals and even ecumenical. Not only that, straying from sound theological doctrine, straying from Reformed theology. Yeah. Because the further they get, the further they get. And so we're calling them all back, especially, you know, because the elect, you know, Jesus, or even said in the Revelation, come out of her, my people. And he was speaking of the great apostasy. So he said, I have people in there. There are elect in the Catholic Church. There are elect in these evangelical churches. There are elect that have embraced Ribera's dispensational eschatology. Yeah. There are elect in Mormonism. Can you believe that? In Seventh-day Adventism and everywhere. You know, God's elect are everywhere. You know, he says they're like the wind. You can't tell where they are or where they're going. You can't tell just by, you know, observance who is and who isn't. Now, if you stick around someone long enough, you can observe their life. Yeah, that's a little different. But you can't just tell by watching people walk by or come out of a different building, a Catholic church or a Baptist church or a Mormon church or whatever buildings or congregations are walking out of and say, nah, that one's not elect. No, none of them are. You can't tell just by mere appearance. But you can tell if you watch their life. You can, you know, you can judge them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. That's what Jesus said. So if you slow down long enough, you get to know someone, you can see their fruits. They become evident who they are, whether they are or not. So they're out there. They're everywhere, the elect. So those are the people that, you know, we are calling to, us true Protestant, Reformed, theologically and eschatologically. Yes, we're calling out to God's elect, wherever they might be. We're reaching out to them. And with the truth of God's word, because, you know, I read through history and here's what happened. Time after time, people read the Word of God. Luther read the Word of God, changed his life. I read the Word of God, changed my life. You know, so get in there and read that Word. That's the most important thing you can do. Listen to good Reformed theological teaching. You know, listen to First Amendment Radio. You'll get it. You'll get eschatology as well as eschatological teaching here. And some of the teachers that we are using, like R.C. Sproul, who's now deceased, very good and very interesting and engaging on theology, good Reformed theology. Okay. But on eschatology, he really doesn't teach. It's not his forte. Neither was it really Martin Luther's. I mean, he was so engaged in you know, getting people straight theologically with the true gospel, with the salvation message. But he did identify and protest, of course. What choice did he have? Those papal thunders were announced against him. And then he went into hiding, and during his time in hiding, he was kidnapped and forced into hiding by people that loved him. And during that time, he translated the entire Bible, at least the entire New Testament. He had help with the Old Testament primarily, but into German for the German people. Yeah, yes, he did that to... And that's the same thing Wycliffe did. That's why the Reformation started several hundred years prior in England, on the British Isles, because Wycliffe translated the scripture with some help from some of his adherents, and people were reading the writings of Wycliffe on various things and reading his translation of the scriptures, and England was changing. And that's why England was probably that one-tenth of the kingdom that fell away when it did fall away. See, you people don't call in and don't ask me questions on the chat line. See, I always go back into prophecy because it's foremost in my mind. Prophecy and history. Because prophecy is just history in advance. So when I read the history, I see the prophecy being fulfilled in it. And so England was that tenth of the kingdom that fell away from the papal crown. Yeah. And those seven thunders that were uttered, those were papal proclamations. That's why John wasn't allowed to write them in the book of truth, as if they were the words of Jesus or the word of God. Don't write those. Yeah, those papal thunders. And so I believe E.B. Eliot was right on that course when he interpreted the unwritten, those papal thunders that were not allowed to be written in the Word of God because they were not the Word of God. They were the words of the Antichrist. Yeah. So, yeah, history is very, very interesting. So, I know, I'm trying, you know, I'm learning how to narrate. But it's still, I guess, for most people, unless you're really interested in the topic, it would even be boring to listen to. So try to get engaged with it. You know, it's kind of like a series. So once you stick with it, you learn who the characters are, and they pop back up. And when someone's spoken of, at first you don't know who they are, and a lot of it doesn't make sense. But if you stick with it, you know, it's kind of like following any series. You can't jump in the middle of something and expect to know what's going on and then go, meh, this doesn't make any sense. I can't understand what this is all about. You have to stick with it to know where you've been and know where you're going. And I'll tell you what, people that know history and study history are the people that know where they are now. You'll have a better understanding of what's going on around you. Because behind this whole thing, now the crisis, of course, there was some kind of crisis, and they've been working on weaponizing viruses and stuff like this. And I hear, you know, it got out that, you know, some of the viruses got out and stuff like that. And who knows where it originated. Some people say the virus originated in America. It was taken to China so they could work on it or whatever. It goes around and around and around. I don't know why we've got these viruses spread all over the earth where, you know, clumsy, fallible human beings can make a mess of things because they always do. And so it got out, and they can't, you know, the Antichrist and his shadow government cannot allow a good crisis to go to waste that they don't propagate their intent. You know, what they have intended to shape the world into what they want it to be. It's going to happen every time. So this is going to be like during these weeks of crisis, so-called, the schemes of the Antichrist and his shadow government are going to advance by decades in weeks, where most of the time they're just struggling to advance against, you know, the society, especially here in America, all of us rebels over here, still the most rebel nation on the earth as far as the Antichrist is concerned. If the Antichrist is the ruler of the world, which he is, sorry all you dispensational futurists, but the Antichrist, we know who he is, and we are protesting as loudly as we can. At least I am. And everyone who's supporting First Amendment Radio and the work we're doing here, you're protesting with me. Because, you know, I don't have to go out and go to work to do something else besides work on First Amendment Radio and propagating this. And, okay, while I'm just doing a monologue here, it seems. I've got a great program in the afternoons and overnight, and that is David Knight from bandvideo.com. But don't go there. No, you can go there. You know, please go there and listen to the programs. I listen to some of them. Can't stand Alex Jones, really. But, you know, he is who he is, and there are conspiracy and theories about him and what he is. But I like David Knight. The more I listen to the guy, the more I like him. Is he protesting? Yes, he's protesting. Will he go as far as to name the Antichrist? Well, I don't know, but he does bring us a lot of news and a lot of insight as to what's going on out there in the world. I mean, I can't just shut off First Amendment Radio from everything else, so I hope that people are enjoying that. I'm not getting much feedback, if any, about the broadcast. It's in the afternoon, right after Financial Survival. And it goes for 3 hours there. And then I run it overnight up until from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning for those East Coast listeners who get up at 4 a.m. here is like 3 hours later. There is 7 a.m. there. So that's perfect timing for East Coast people that are getting up with the sun. So I hope everyone's enjoying that. I'm going to keep broadcasting it as long as I like it. I've considered other broadcasts there, but I like his the best, yeah. And as far as his spirit, he's a Christian man, I believe, genuine, part of the elect of God. No Catholic, that's for sure. But anyway, you should listen to the broadcast there. He brings a lot of no-nonsense reality to what's going on in the world out there today. So hope everyone enjoys that. Okay, like I said, next segment, next hour, we're going to jump back into prophecy, and I'm going to discuss where I'm at, where I left off in chapter 2 of my book, As It Stands Now. I think I have the first 2 chapters refined enough where I'm going to publish it. I just got another idea for a whole another chapter, or several more chapters for the book, to bring my complete view, what I've learned over the last 15 years, into one volume. So a lot of what's in my other 2 small books that I wrote already will be in there in a more complete form in this final book that I'm writing. And so I hope that I need your prayers, and I hope that everybody join. I especially need input if there's difficulties in what I'm saying and you don't think it's quite clear enough and I could clarify it. You know, help me, you know. As a writer, I need the view of people that are going to read it. and that's it, because, you know, I want to reach other people. I mean, I read something that I wrote a while ago, and I go, you know, I really should have explained that. I really should have took a little more time to clarify more, you know, to make it more clear what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to do that so that people can, people coming off with, you know, just a nominal biblical understanding can get a clue as to what I'm talking about. I don't want to lose people. I want to gain them. I want them to get an insight into what's different about Reformed eschatology, because that's what I'm bringing to the table, is Reformed eschatology. And there are many forms of it, but there's only one true form, and that's that Holy Spirit understanding. And I'm not saying I have the only line into Holy Spirit understanding, but it's what I'm after, and it's what I want to bring to the book. Yeah, so I need to rightly divide what belongs, you know, and what doesn't belong in a Holy Spirit understanding. I don't have, that's my agenda. That's it. That's my agenda. And that's what's brought me to the point I'm at now. And perhaps why it's so different from dispensational and even accepted Reformed eschatology out there. Which Reformed eschatology, especially amillennialism and practically no eschatology at all, is kind of messed up. Reading through it. And anyway, we'll get to that when I get to those parts in my book on the air, or when I publish it, you can read it. But, and if anyone wants something explained better that they don't think is done out there, you know, any input I can get at all into making this book that I'm writing more relevant to our general listener out there and the people that you're trying to reach with the same message, with Reformed theology as well as eschatology. Because, you know, we want to bring everyone into God's kingdom that we can, but we realize they're only the elect that are going to make it, and only God knows who they all are. We don't know who they all are. Some people we think never, maybe, you don't know. True news, they've gone down the tubes, man. They've totally bought into the whole emergency coronavirus thing. Not even worth bothering anymore. Don't even bother going. You might go there and go, what? You know, because if they didn't have the coronavirus to buy into and totally sell out to, well, they would just be, you know, Jew bashing and Trump bashing, because now they're really heavy on the Trump bashing. And you know why they don't like Trump is because Trump is, well, probably one of the most Jewish presidents we've ever had. And, you know, they hate those, what do you call them? Dispensational Zionist. Yeah, those Zionist Christians out there, those Christian Zionists, they hate them with a passion. And I think their passion is overriding their good sense. Either that, or they know what they're doing, and that's really too bad. But like I said, they stopped doing their news broadcast, which was the only good thing they had. And now they're just doing this show every day where they... Well, they just now are pretty much bashing Trump and hyping up the coronavirus. That's right. And this is it for them. So they're pretty much done with. Yes, they've been outed as far as I am concerned. But yeah, check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. The Budweiser virus. They would have got a lot more monies, huh? Well, that's all we have time for in this nonsense, huh? Thank the few people that showed up in the chat room there. And stick around, and we're going to jump back into prophecy reality. Don't go anywhere.
Pleasing you, where can I hide?
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. The Trump administration is continuing to enforce restrictions on non-essential travel with Canada and Mexico amid the coronavirus outbreak. This, as there have been over 55,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus in the U.S. and over 800 deaths. Speaking in an interview on Fox and Friends, Acting U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan says this has drastically slowed down traffic at the southern border.
This president, through the CDC, gave DHS the authority to do what we needed to do, where common sense yet aggressive containment mitigation strategies. And less than a week, we've seen our encounters drop by over 50%. The pedestrian traffic and vehicle traffic, both at the northern and southern border, has dropped by over 50% as well.
In a late-night announcement, the White House and Senate negotiators say they've struck a deal for a $2 trillion package for coronavirus economic relief, but it may hit stumbling blocks in the House.
A rescue deal would help businesses make payroll even as workers are forced to stay home. Hospitals and some industries like airlines would be seeing cash infusions, but there may be battles coming up in the House. Even as Speaker Nancy Pelosi told CNBC, she's optimistic something can get done. Congressman Justin Amash of Michigan sent out a tweet soon after the Senate deal was announced, saying it does far too little for those who need the most help while providing hundreds of billions in corporate welfare. The Senate vote on the package is expected today. The House may take it up Thursday or Friday. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Parts of the whole world are enforcing restrictions. Trey Yinks reports from Israel.
In Israel tonight, the country will go into a stricter lockdown, forcing people to stay within 300 feet of their homes. Additionally, all outdoor activities and running are going to be banned, as civilians will only be allowed to leave for food and medicine. A spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces told Fox News that the military will be used to support local police in enforcing the new guidelines, though soldiers will not be carrying weapons. The new policies come as images show some of the most iconic sites in the Middle East completely deserted. Israel has seen more than 2,000 positive cases of coronavirus and confirmed a fifth death this morning. Now to India, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi has implemented a three-week lockdown for the entire 1.3 billion person population.
The October deadline for so-called real ID has been delayed. Chris Woodward has more.
The delay is due to the coronavirus outbreak. Authorities at the federal and state level want to avoid crowding at motor vehicle department offices. USA Today reports that without the change, many people would not be allowed to board flights in the U.S. without one of the Real ID cards. Twyla Brace, president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, is pleased with the Real ID delay. Her organization has been asking people for a long time now to opt out of Real ID.
Just get a standard driver's license. Just get a driver's license that says not for federal purposes, and get the driver's license that doesn't have the gold star on it. And the reason that we ask people to opt out of Real ID is because we know that the Real ID is a national ID card. And we know that the United States has the right to require that that Real ID card be used for many more purposes other than getting on a plane, once everybody has the card.
According to Brace, this could include healthcare services, which might explain why an organization called Citizens Council for Health Freedom is concerned about driver's licenses.
Just use your passport to fly and just get a standard driver's license so that we never get to the point where we have a national ID card in this country.
I'm Chris Woodward.
Japan's Nikkei index has surged 8%, and other world markets also jumped after Congress and the White House reached a deal to inject nearly $2 trillion into the economy. The advances Wednesday followed the best day since 1933 for the Dow, which rocketed 11.4% higher on Tuesday. American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. My name is Nicholas Arthur, and this is a Prophecy Reality Edition. And in this edition, we're going to continue studying and discussing the book that I'm writing right now. I don't really even have a title for it. I have several ideas about titles for it, but we'll figure that out by the end of the year, perhaps. But left off last time, we started Chapter 2, and we did not finish Chapter 2. We were talking about beast powers and apocalyptic terms and divine interpretation, and it led us into beast powers and continued with that vein of thought. We realized that there were seven beast powers in all enumerated in the scriptures in apocalyptic prophecy, and the beast powers rise in succession. In one place it says there's an eighth, but he's one of the seven, so not really a different beast power, just reasserts itself in a form that is somewhat mystical, somewhat elusive at the end, was and is not, yet is. That's the eighth beast, which is one of the seven. So the seventh power is where we left off, and the seventh beast is the last beast that is introduced in the entire scripture, in apocalyptic prophecy, and that would be at chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, is where we are introduced to the final beast power in the Revelation, the two-horned earth beast, the seventh beast, the rise of the two-horned earth beast, Revelation 13, 11 through 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the powers of the first beast before him. So the first beast, of course, is referring to the first beast of this chapter, which is the sea beast, which is also the sixth and the eighth. Okay? So he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. So all of the power that the first beast, that this beast exercised before him, he's going to exercise in his time, this two-horned earth beast. And that's what we should call it, because that's how it's described. It's a beast that comes up out of the earth, whereas the other beast before him rose up out of the sea. So those are two distinguishing descriptions, where they rise up from. The first beast of chapter 13 rises up out of the sea. The second beast of chapter 13, which is the seventh beast power in all, of all, rises up out of the earth, and it has two horns, whereas the sea beast has 10 horns. Okay. And I believe that the description of the horns here, of those, that division of power, because that's what horns are. They're a division of power within a beast. So this beast has two horns. It has a division of power. And it describes that division of power here. One is like a lamb, and the other speaks as a dragon. Yeah, I am about 99.999% sure that that is a, it's a true observation. I'm 100% sure of that, that it's a true observation. And as a interpretation, I am pretty sure that that's it right there, that those are the descriptions of these two horns, which seem to be opposing equal powers in the beast. And that's America today. Oops, I let it slip, didn't I? But let us continue. We'll get there. And if you don't agree with what I just said, that's America today, you've got to listen to this. You have to listen to this. See, that way you can come back and you can explain to me why it would be otherwise. Because if I'm wrong, then God put you here to straighten me out. Okay? Because I'm after the true, the Holy Ghost interpretation. And if you know better than me, then it is your duty as one of the elect of God to set me straight. Yeah, that's right. And likewise, my duty it's my duty to set you straight. We're here to to exercise each other in the truth. Okay? So, this beast, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So he does this in sight of the first beast, or at least what and who the first beast represents. Let's check it out. Chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the life, machinations, and affiliations of the greatest and most enduring of the final world dominating governments or beasts created by mortal man, from its very rise until it goes to perdition, with its revived head and supporting companions, the earth beast and its image. Does that statement need more explanation? Okay, chapter 13 of the Revelation is an overview of the life, machinations, and affiliations of the greatest, most enduring of the final world-dominating governments or beast powers created by mortal man from its very rise, 800 B.C.? When did the Roman Empire rise up? Okay, by almost 1,000 years before the 10 horns became prominent on this beast, Rome existed as a pagan empire. Yes, the most enduring of the world-dominating governments or beast powers ever created by mortal man. That's what the Roman Empire was. And then it changed. And then for 1,260 years it was ruled by the man of sin, the Antichrist, with his great apostasy. But it hasn't ended yet, because Rome still exists in the form that God said it would in his word. But right now, our focus is not Rome, but one of his, or several of his supporting companions, the earth beast and its image. Let's look at the attributes of the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Let us examine the mentioned attributes of this beast's power from the divine text itself and see if we can find a candidate in subsequent history that satisfies all of the criteria following. Here we refer to our previous discussion, which identifies this new beast power with the seventh king beast of Revelation 17, 9 through 11, and the attributes enumerated there. The first attribute, number one, he is not yet come. Here is a direct future tense reference to an appearance of a seventh king beast power that did not previously exist. Future, from the present tense of John receiving the revelation, and future from the one is then in existence. The sixth king beast already identified as Rome. Revelation 13 has the only mention of the appearance of an additional and subsequent beast power in the scripture. So of necessity, it must be the same beast power mentioned in both texts. Two, the next attribute. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Still directing us to the future tense, the author asserts the continuance of this beast power must be relatively short in comparison to the other beast powers before it, or at least the one immediately preceding and contemporary with it. That would be number six, of which the latter seems to be the case. we now turn back to our primary text above, Revelation 13, 11 through 14. And we look at the third attribute. This beast comes up out of the earth. First, we notice that this beast does not rise up out of the sea, as did the four previous beast powers. The sea, waters, or flood, each respectively indicating multitudes or densely populated area, such as the old world. It's important to remember the old world. And conquest and warfare by the sword. That's what a flood represents in apocalyptic language. Conquest by warfare, or the sword as an emblem. This earth beast would rise up without conquest of the beast preceding it. Nor would it occupy the highly populated locality of the preceding beast powers. There's only one symbolic use of the word earth that I could find in the Revelation, and that concerning the church's flight into the wilderness. This would seem to confirm our understanding that it refers to the opposite of the sea symbol, that this beast did not rise up in the old world locality where the sea beast did, but rather would appear from a locality which was sparsely populated upon its rise. Next attribute, number four. He had two horns like a lamb. For reference, averting our attention to the division of the Greek Empire, with its singular horn being broke off and supplanted by four horns, signifying a new fourfold division, and the ten horns of the concurrent sea beast, three being plucked up before the little horn, etc. We expect to see something representing a twofold division of power during the continuance of this two-horned earth beast, as demonstrated by the short history of the Medo-Persian power. It's being described as like a lamb is a probable indicator of the attribute of one of those horns, or division of power, and the other indicated by our next attribute, number five. He spake as a dragon. This dragon influence or division would be concurrent throughout the life of this beast power with the two horns, as we notice no change or one horn being plucked up by another as in the Grecian and Roman beast empire beasts previous to it. This beast may be somewhat schizophrenic, with a constant power struggle between its lamb-like qualities and dragon-like conversation. Something similar to the old cartoon caricature with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, especially in its support of the sea beast, which derives its power from the dragon or Satan, the god of this world. Our sixth attribute. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In its history, the Roman Empire, that is, the beast power before him, ruled the then-known world and all of its civilizations. It had military outposts in many of those nations. It was the police power of the world. This is the kind of power that will be necessary to fulfill the following tasks or attributes, 7 through 14, set forth in the vision for this earth beast power. And let's continue looking at those. Number 7, he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is an overview and end result and motivation of this horn division in the following actions, or in the biblical sense, it's dragon conversation. He uses the following feats to accomplish world obedience to the first beast. 8, doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. In context, this power is military, an overwhelming military power, and contemporarily this means firepower. 9. deceivest them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in sight of the beast. Here we continue the theme of an overwhelming military power that would seem miraculous by any historical standard. Attribute 10. He says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. That is the first beast. So the second beast says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the first beast. So much so, this power, that the world will easily capitulate to the assembly of the image of the beast and eventual world obedience to it. Number 11. Had power to give life to the image of the beast. The end result of the wonder, power, and miraculous machinations of this earth beast lead to the next step of worship or obedience to the image of the beast that was and is not and yet is, which will vicariously rule the world through the construct of this image. Number 12. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, indicating that the second beast's dragon speech or horn division of power must be the primary motivator behind the enforcement action of the image it creates. Number 13. And cause us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Now, let's identify the earth beast prefigured in the vision. Now we look to recent history, and it seems so obvious, so wonderfully fulfilled, that only one candidate among the prominent powers of the world stands out immediately as fulfilling every criteria of this two-horned earth beast in every detail prefigured in the apocalyptic vision. Here we expound upon them one point at a time. Number 1. America had not yet come at the reception of the revelation by John. The new world where this power appeared was an unknown. Upon the punishment and wounding, as it were to death, of that head of the sea beast, a dominion that lasted for 1,260 years under that head, and about 1,200 years before that from its pagan beginnings, about the 8th century B.C., the papal power and its Holy Roman Empire seemed to disappear. Was and is not, yet is. By 1870, it seemed only a powerless shadow of it remained. Number 2. America rises in the New World, about the same time of the wounding of the Roman papal head, and has now existed a little more than 200 years in its current constitutional form. How much time can this beast power continue before it exceeds the short space qualification? Exactly what is a short space in context of the prophecy? Even if Christ were not to appear for several hundred years more, America's time would still be a short space by comparison to the first beast of the same chapter of Revelation. Number 3. America comes up out of the earth rather than the sea, representing peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, where the four previous beast powers rose up. This beast rises up out of the new world, sparsely populated by comparison. There's no conquest or necessity of assimilation, as noticed in the previous consecutive sea beast powers, so that this power can come alongside of and support the sea beast as predicted in chapter 13. Number 4. He had two horns like a lamb, and 5. He spake as a dragon. When a tenth part of the papal kingdom fell, which 10th we have identified as the falling away of Protestant England from the Papal States, many had been fleeing to the New World to escape religious persecution and papal inquisition in the same place where Protestant England eventually established 13 colonies. Canada to the north was a crown colony of the sovereign city of London. Mexico down through all of South America, Latin America, was conquered on behalf of the Vatican by the papal vassals of Portugal and Spanish conquistadors. These are all primarily Roman Catholic possessions. In the New World, the only power that rose up and came to exhibit all of the attributes of the Revelation 13 earth beast is the one that developed out of the 13 colonies planted by Protestant England, the United States of America. These two horns appear to be lifelong solar opposites, as indicated. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of this beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation. The first Constitution of the United States was written during the Constitutional. Okay, and I think we're going to have to stop here, because we're going to come on a break, and we're going to pick up here when we come back, okay, from this break. And we're going to have a little extended discussion, as it seems so appropriate today to be discussing these two horn powers and how they coexist and what to expect by this interpretation of the prophecy. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. I'm Nicholas Arthur. Please go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and make sure you subscribe to my blog there, and that way you'll be noticed of any new postings, when we're going to have a broadcast like the one I'm having today, and you can join me live, and I would like to see more people show up for that. And plus, you can pass, you can propagate the articles and things that I have there, which hopefully we need to get the word around on Reformed eschatology and where the protest stands today. Let's be true Protestants. I think that's very important in these days in which we live. And reach as many of the elect as possible, wherever they are. We need to reach them. Okay, well, here comes that break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of firstamendmentradio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. Thank the few people that showed up and are listening live to the broadcast. WW in the chat room, I'll take a few minutes here to just comment. He says they don't think they talk about the EU in Chapter 13. I believe you're correct in that. As a matter of fact, that's where the 10 horns are. And you notice they say, history repeats itself. Well, no, the history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme, because a lot of people think that there's a lot of recapitulation in Revelation, but sorry, that's not what I'm finding. I'm not finding much recapitulation at all. But there are things that do rhyme, and it's like the British Isles or UK, United Kingdom, falling away from the EU it really rhymes with the British Isles falling away in history from the beast, from the Papal Kingdom, the Holy Roman Empire. And so that's kind of nice to see that, hey, those British, they still got something going on there. And it's funny how that, they're probably one of the most friendly nations with America of all the nations of the world. Since our nation did spring from what they started over here. Anyway, that's as much as I'm going to say about that. WW says schizophrenic, ha ha ha. Yes, and we're going to discuss that more. Let's jump back into our exposition, the book I'm writing, which I'm sharing with you right now, and I've just thought I have to write a couple more paragraphs right here, but we're talking about the two horns and in this two-horned earth beast, and these two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites as indicated. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. And that's what we see in the Revelation. As we see the other beast powers where, say, Medo-Persia or the Greek Empire rose up with one horn, not Medo-Persia, but Greece rose up with one horn. And then that one horn was broken off when Alexander the Great died. And then four horns in this beast power came up in its place. And so the kingdom of Alexander was divided between his four generals. And that's all history. You could read about that. That's true history. And so we learn by that how to interpret what these horns mean. So we have this final beast, America, rises up with two horns. And one is described as like a lamb and the other draconic. And so here we are today. And what is the lamb like? Well, that's us. That's God's elect. And this is wonderful news. This is wonderful news for God's people in America. Because where we see the struggle in the old world between the Antichrist and him putting to death, and all, finally one-tenth of the kingdom fell away. But all of the other kingdoms, though there was reformation in them, they never really broke away until the beast was, that reign, that 1260-year reign, was finally put down in that overt form that it reigned for 1260 years. But in America, we have these two horned beasts. So we, the elect of God, this is our job, is to not allow. And so we fight for that. God says we fight for it. He demonstrates it in the history written in advance that these two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites. And boy, can you see that in America today? America has never been more divided between these two horns. No, you know what? America has always been divided between these two horns. It's just the battle is raging now, and we see these two opposites more clearly than we've ever seen them before, I believe. At least in my lifetime. I can't speak for history, but I can see that, yes, they've always been there. These two powers, these two opposing, one good and one evil. But the good news is that they both, one doesn't rise up over the other. I mean, it's never good news to have evil ruling, but here it is demonstrated for us in the prophecy, and now here we see it as clearly, or perhaps more clearly than we've ever seen it in the history of this country, how polarized America has become. But not really. It's just how clearly identified these polar opposites have become than ever before. We have the death cult on one side and the life cult on the other. You have the liars on one side, and of course there's and even God's people, but it's something that we can hold on to. We can see that, you know, so I kind of wonder, will what happened in Europe come here where the beast power appears to overrun and completely suppress the gospel and rule over them and kill them as it has happened in history, as it was prophesied in history. So I don't see that being prophesied for America, but I don't see a whole lot else being written. So what's going to happen here, I have to believe, is not going to be as bad as what has happened and what will happen in many other parts of the world. And, you know, we as God's people, as his elect, we need to fight. We need to fight to keep this, you know, to keep level, you know, to keep the battle. The battle must rage. Okay? Otherwise, if we don't fight in this battle for God's word, for the truth, for righteousness, for the kingdom of God, if we don't fight the battle for it, well, then that other horn will rise up higher. But as indicated by the prophecy, we do keep fighting, and we must keep fighting. We can never give up. So I'm here to the end, even if they want to martyr me at some time, even if martyrdom comes to the United States of America. Certainly, there is persecution here, and many have ended up in prison. So many have been murdered, you know. And there's plenty of persecution out there in other countries of the world. Will they ever have overt persecution that they don't have to gloss over and hide here in America? Will it ever come where there's mobs out killing Christians like there has been in the old world during many incidences that we read about in history, where whole mobs got up and went up and killed anyone and even killed their own if they were decent people? I mean, there were Catholics who were probably truly in heart reformed in their faith, but still identifying and associating with the Catholic Church. They killed them too because they objected to the murder of their Protestant neighbors. That's how the mobs were in the history of the old world during the reign of the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist, because the Antichrist loved it. He loved it when that happens. He didn't care how many of his own God killed. Just as long as those heretics were extirpated and put to death. So hopefully we won't see that here, but it could happen. It could happen on a smaller scale. We see violence rising in the so-called political left against the so-called political right. They're the ones who are violent, yet they're the ones who want to take our ability to protect ourselves away from us. Because it seems that most of the people in power are on the dragon side. And that's as it should be. Because evil people seek power, because they love power, because power brings them money and control over others. And that's what evil loves. And that's why most of the evil is in power and has most of the money. But we should understand that are part of the elect of God. And so we know we just have to fight harder where God has put us, with little notoriety and with little monetary power, because our battle is not in flesh and blood, and it's not going to be won by carnal weapons, but by spiritual weapons. Okay, well, that's my sermon. Anyway, let's jump back into the book. See, I need to get that sermon and I need to put it in the book. I can do that. See how that works? Thank you all for showing up and allowing me to preach at you for 5 or 10 minutes there. Felt pretty good, actually. So anyway, back to our text here. These two horns appear to be lifelong polar opposites, as indicated by the text. They coexist without change during the continuance of the earth beast. These two horns demonstrate two equal and opposing powers at the origin of this beast, lamb-like and draconic in speech. The American Continental Congress adopted the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution of the United States, on November 15, 1777. The present Constitution for the United States was written during the Constitutional Convention. Those that opposed it were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to it to preserve those enumerated liberties. It was signed and sealed on September 17, 1787. F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, unquestionably exposes the hidden secret influence in the establishment of the U.S. Constitution. And as an aside here, that's one of the projects that I'm working, that I'm got boiling on my back burner to write about, is to investigate more into what F. Tupper Saucy was writing about. And perhaps maybe to do a small volume on that. Nothing extensive or yeah, too extensive or overwhelming. But anyway, F. Tupper Saucy, in his book, Rulers of Evil, and if you'd like to get a copy of Rulers of Evil, go to my website at crosstheborder.org. On the Bible Studies page, you'll see a list of books there, and there's a link to a PDF of that book. Anyway, he unquestionably exposes the hidden secret influence in the concentration of power in the newly created head of this beast, the sovereign city of the District of Columbia. Though this power is founded upon many godly or lamb-like principles, the draconic influence will eventually turn it to come alongside the draconic power of the sea beast that infected it at its inception. The history of this alliance between these two peace powers is foretold in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. And I quote that from my, I think from my 2014 book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled, I think. Anyway, there it's there in the footnote. Number six, next attribute we're looking at. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Now, it would take two world wars centered around the dominant locality of the wounded head to lure this earth beast into its predicted apocalyptic position of help and support for the sea beast. It is not insignificant that about the same time that the first beast receives its deadly head wound, that the second beast rises in the new world, and in time comes to exercise all the powers of the first beast before it, until it finally causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. It is all too evident that America exhibits the dichotomy which the scripture indicates that it would as this earth beast. As the Roman Empire was once the visible power, visible police power of the world, so today America, since World War II, has emerged as the police power of the world and exercises all the power of the first beast before him. Despite recently closing hundreds of bases in Iraq and Afghanistan, the United States still maintains nearly 800 military bases in more than 700 countries and territories abroad, from giant little Americas to small radar facilities. Britain, France, and Russia, by contrast, have about 30 foreign bases combined. Is that enough evidence for you? America fulfills every criteria perfectly and outwardly. I mean, there's no fudging here. It is. This is it. There's no other power on earth that completely fulfills every criteria of the second earth beast power. And I believe, let's see, a lot of this you'll find in my books. The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Yeah, you'll find it in The Rapture Will Be Canceled that I wrote in 2014. Some of the fulfillment of these powers, as I just enumerated in these few paragraphs here. The Earth Beast creates an image of the beast. He causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven in the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them to dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the first beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Principle in our search for divine interpretation, so we're still on divine interpretation and apocalyptic terms here. So principle in our search for a divine interpretation on the symbol here used, that of an image of a beast power, is that found in Daniel chapter 2, in the first appearance of the mystery Babylon image from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In the first, we see an image of all the powers that would dominate the world from the first enumerated sea beast, that is Babylon, its head, which demanded worship of its own image in the plain of Dura, until this amalgamation of the four sea beast powers goes to perdition at the return of Christ. In the second end time image, here being created and revealed in chapter 13 of the Revelation, we see the amalgamation of all the powers of the earth in their final conquest of the whole earth, which will come to demand the worship of all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. It is through this image that the wounded head's healing is complete, and through which it can vicariously rule the world. Remember, is and was not, yet is. Okay? It will vicariously rule the world and cause them that dwell on the earth to wonder. Yeah, people will wonder when they behold the beast that was and is not, yet is. Those are the words of the scripture, not mine. So we've learned from Bible history and at the temptation of Christ that it is Satan who comes to dominate all the kingdoms of mortal men, regardless of the best beginnings. So with the dragon power firmly entrenched in the U.S. government in the New World. World War I is initiated and America is lured to engage the conflict in the first beast locality. That is the old world, after which the first attempt to create an image of the sea beast ultimately failed. The League of Nations was founded on January 10, 1920 as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. America is not yet ready as of 1920, but is certainly on the way to becoming the most powerful nation on earth. The onset of the Second World War showed that the League had failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted 26 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of the Second World War. World War II, in the same 20th century, fully develops American firepower in the sight of the entire earth. America concludes World War II with a miraculous firepower previously unseen, the atomic bomb, against which none dare make war. By means of those miracles which he had power to do, America convinced the world that they should make an image to the beast. This new image, the United Nations, is an intergovernmental organization tasked to promote international cooperation and create and maintain international order. Sounds exactly like what the Antichrist wants. A replacement for the ineffective League of Nations. The organization was established on 24 October 1945 after World War II with the aim of preventing another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193 as of 2018. The headquarters of the UN is in Manhattan, New York City. The United Nations is the New World Order. The United Nations is the New World Order. The United Nations is the New World Order. America did not join the former League of Nations, but is a founding member of the UN and the most prominent one thereof. The UN Charter was drafted at a conference between April and June of 1945 in San Francisco, and was signed on June 26, 1945 at the conclusion of the conference. This charter took effect in October 1945, and the UN began operation. And there's a lot more detail there that I've wrote in my book talking about the UN, its goals, the 20 2030 agenda, which is what we're experiencing right now. I mean, this, what we're going through right at this very moment with this crisis, the COVID, you know, Wuhan virus crisis, is helping to implement the 2030 agenda for sustainable development. You can read the goals there for yourself. I'm running out of time, and I think next time, we're going to skip all that. You can read that in my book. Let's see, what is it? When the seventh temple or something, when the temple is built, the rapture play will begin. That's in there too. And I have articles outlining this on my website too. So a lot of the stuff that's going to be in my book, like I said, it's going to be complete. So many of the things that I've already written are going to be in there. But it's going to contain a lot more, and it's going to be a lot more well written and a lot more clearly understandable, I think, I hope. At least that's my prayer, and I hope that you'll pray that for me too as I continue on this work. Next time we meet, we're going to just jump ahead a few paragraphs, so I'm not going to get into the details of the UN. I think you got enough just in what I read so far. But we're going to jump into the false prophet and the three frogs era. So you'll want to make sure to come back for that. You've been listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality News Edition on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Make sure you subscribe to my blog at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. May the Almighty bless you and keep you until we meet again.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look.